So this morning, this afternoon, I want to go to a scripture found in 2 Thessalonians 3. Let's go to verse 1. So here we go. Verse 1. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Let's pray this morning. So letting God direct your hearts, like I said earlier, that's a choice. Our hearts can be directed in many different ways. To love to play, to sports, to addictions, to work, to social media, to family, to drama, to gossip. But to let God direct your heart, well, that's going to take a full surrender to him completely. To him, what do you mean, Pastor? It's going to take for you to want to know him, to seek him, to talk with him, not just complain to him, somebody. To thank him, to share with him your lives, your hurts, and your heart. You know, many of us we get hit and we all we want to do is complain to God. You know, talk to God. Tell him your hurts. Tell man, God, why did that happen? You know, why can't please do something? You know, we need to be conversational with him. You know, he's listening. He wants to hear from us, not just our complaints. Amen. Remember, children of Israel, they murmured and they complained, and it says God got mad. Your hurts and complaints. To surrender to God takes humility. It takes humility. I can't walk in your ways, God. I need your help. When we talk about our hearts, I'm not really just talking about our heart, the organ. I'm talking about what drives us, our emotions, our will, our intellect, our smarts. You know, when I talk about our heart, I'm talking about the very place our decisions are made and our actions are decided on. That's the heart that we want to talk about today. See, you'll never be in love with God or believe in God unless you allow God to direct your heart into God's love. A lot of people put up the wall. A lot of people put up the wall on God. And you know, I'm not going to go that deep into this. You know, and then you don't get the full blessings of the Lord. You know, what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. That's where the decision. So when you say, let God direct your heart, I'm really saying let God guide your entire life and your being, because you will never regret it. I've been in 24 years and I have not regretted letting go of my past, somebody. I don't regret it, not one bit, you know, not one bit. And it's not about just sitting back and waiting for God to do all the work, somebody. We're not just talking about allowing God to guide us, but it's surrendering our hearts to him completely. It's about trusting in him with our deepest desires, our fears, our dreams, and our hopes. It's about understanding that his plans for us are greater than ours. It's about, here you go, actively seeking his will, spending time in his word, and listening for his voice, about actively seeking his will, spending time in his word, and listening to his voice. Is what I'm about to do or say going to please my Father in heaven? Or is it what I'm going to do or say knowing I'm going to hurt someone or cause division? You know, remember, think, T-H-I-N-K, think before you speak. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it influential? Is it needed? And is it kind? Think before you speak. If you're a Christian and you love God and God is in your heart, we have to think before we speak. Well, it is the truth. Yeah, well, but are you kind? You know, was it needed? Is this helpful? Is it influential? Are you gonna have someone turn their face on you, their shoulder to you? Influential. It needs to be spoke in a way that will receive it. Right? We need to talk to people the way that they'll receive it. Isn't that better anyways? Self-control. Think before we speak. Seeking his will is speaking like that. You're seeking his will when you're looking to please him. We're not pleasing God when our mouths are filthy. We're out of his will. And that ain't God guiding your heart. That's you guiding your heart. Seeking to please him will keep you in his will. How do we do that? Well, one way is to remember the Beatitudes. You know, Matthew 5, the attitudes to be, I like to say, the Beatitudes, poor in spirit. First, because we can all start here. If you don't sense your own poverty, you'll never hunger and thirst to be right with God. To know that I'm a low down, wretched soul without God. If I don't see myself like that, then I'll have a hard time hungering to be right with God. Because, hey, I'm good, man. I'm good. You know? Yes, people that you know is all wrong, and then they say, I'm good. You know, and there's no way that you'll see them in church because they think they're good. Those who mourn over sin and the sinful condition, their promised comfort. Their promised comfort. You know, that's a tough one to explain. But when we come to Christ, we're usually in a sad state of ourselves, you know? And then you hear Maria or me call an altar, usually Maria, call an altar call and say, if you want to get right with God, if you never ask God to be your Savior, come up and receive Christ right now. And then you come up and what do you feel? You feel love. You give yourself to Christ. You hear a prayer over you and you're like, man, you know, you're comforted. You're comforted by the poverty of your own sinful nature. Those who mourn over sin and the sinful condition are promised comfort. The meek are those who can be angry but restrain their wrath in obedience to the will of God, nor will they be easily provoked. They will inherit the earth. You know, you got control over yourself. You can restrain your anger. You know when you're getting angry and you suppress it. You know, that's a meek person. Like, you know what? I'm not even going to go here right now. I'm not even going to go here right now. Holding that anger, and that's a meek person that can restrain from letting go. So, and those who hunger for thirst and thirst for righteousness, To be right with God, is like to hunger and thirst for meat and drink that only meat and drink will satisfy. You guys get that? To hunger and to thirst to be right with God, so right with God that is like to hunger and thirst for meat and drink, where ain't nothing going to satisfy me except some meat and drink. I'm hungry right now. Give me food. You know, that's a satisfaction with someone. Here's a plate of steak and mashed potatoes and chili beans. Yeah. Man, you know, you're satisfied, man. You know, you're happy and you're set. I got fed, man. You know what I mean? That's a hunger and thirst for righteousness. You have a hunger and thirst to want to be right with God that much that, oh, man, that satisfies me. Seeking his will is to live, do, and say as it pleases him. When we live, do, and say to please him, we're in his will. You'll be in his will if you've got that in you to say, you know what, I'm not going to go there. There's all kinds of sin in there. I don't need to see it. I'm going to go the long route. You know? Come on, somebody. You know? That's knowing where a conversation is going. And, you know, I'm not even going to go there because we're going to go at it right now. That takes godly wisdom to sense it. You know what? Let's not go there right now. Right now, this is good right now. We go there, we're going to go, oh my gosh. To be in his will, you're seeking to please him. You know? The thing with us is we know something is going to be bad, or chances are more likely to be bad, but we go anyways. And remember, seeking him has rewards. Hebrews 11:6. He rewards those who earnestly, what? Seek him. Man, that alone should make you want to open your word and get to know him. I mean, he rewards. It says, without faith it's impossible, because anyone that comes to him must believe he exists. Why do you come to church? Why do I come to church? Because I want to see someone. I come to church because I believe he exists. That's it. He throws a little sugar on it. And I'll reward you if you diligently seek me. All right, sugar. Sugar, man. Come on, God. Give it to me. As I read the Bible and I see something like that, you know, I mean, those are little nuggets that you have to remember. He says he will reward me if I earnestly seek him. Ding, ding, ding. Man, where's my Bible? I'm going to read my Bible right now, you know, because I want to be blessed. I want to be rewarded. Spending, and then we go right into that. Our second cue, he says it's about actively seeking his will, spending time in his word. To be in church, that's why you hear me. I mean, I know I sound like a broken record. Read your word. Get to know your Bible. You know, the order of the books. Number one, Romans 10:17 says, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I want my faith to grow, but I'm not going to pick up that book. Good luck. Good luck. You need to read the word for my faith to grow. That keeps you going. That keeps you in it. God's word encourages us. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jeremiah 29:11. Hebrews 12:28-29. Hebrews 12:28-29. You know, the word, if you read your word, you'll be encouraged about the walk. Why am I not encouraged in this walk? You know, because you're probably not reading your word. We need to be encouraged in this walk. If we're not encouraged in this walk, we'll walk. We'll walk all right. We'll walk right out of here. You know, spending time in his word is spending time with him. God's word also directs us. Romans 12:1-3, somebody. God's word directs us. Right there, you just got a handful of stuff how to walk this walk. Don't conform to the world. Don't be like the world. Don't be just like the world. Don't be someone that looks like everybody else out there. You can't fly like an eagle hanging around a bunch of turkeys. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Wait a second, Pastor. Don't look like the world, but be transformed by the renewing. You know what? I don't know why you go to that church. They're just trying to brainwash you. I needed a brainwashing, somebody. My brain was jacked up, man. You know? By the renewing of your mind, you know, when we come and we hear the word of God and we feel the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, come on. My gosh, my mind started changing. You know, my thoughts about serving God started to change, and I wanted more of God and less of myself and everything that the world had to offer. Come on. We need to change the way we think. For the renewing of our mind. Amen. Forgetting the past and going forward for what lies ahead. Come on. Forget about it. Don't let that past hold you back from going forward with Jesus. You know, the thing is, some of us want to forget about the past, but we stay in the present. We don't go forward. You know, we sort of stay at a stagnant place. If we're going to forget about the past, we need to go forward, not stay stuck, somebody. God's word challenges us also. It encourages, directs, and challenges us. That is a challenge. That's a challenge. Is that a challenge for you? That's a challenge for me to no longer live for myself, but to live for him who died for me. 12:1-4. Set aside the sin that so easily entangles you. That last part said, like, come on, you haven't, you know, this walk's not that hard that you've got crucified on the cross, even shed any blood, and people walk away, you know, offended, or mad, or just, it's too hard. Christ went through 5 times worse than what you're going through right now. Okay, last I said, listening for his voice. Proverbs 3:6. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That we should be acknowledging God in our life in everything you do, that when something's not right, we choose to turn from it, and that makes our path straight. Acknowledge him in all your ways. If I've got God so much in me, when a bad thought or a bad something I'm thinking I'm going to, you know, and you say, no, I'm not going to go there, man. Just cause me to sin or whatever. I mean, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That's listening to his voice. We need to be able to listen for his voice. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. He's the one who will keep us on track. You can't hear from God if you're not pursuing God. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me, find me. That says it all, people. I love those who love me. If you're not seeking me, you'll never catch me. Hearing from God, listening for his voice. If the Holy Spirit is in me, Jesus will speak to him, and the Spirit will speak to us. You know? And it's our job to listen to his voice. Remember in Samuel, 1 Samuel. Samuel was a little boy. And remember, he was asleep. One of the prophets was little Samuel. And God called him, Samuel. And he ran over. Yes, Master, did you call me? He's all, I didn't call you. You go back to sleep. And he went to sleep. And he lay down and he goes back to sleep. And then God tells him, Samuel. Boy, Samuel. And he got up. He goes, what? And he ran back to the prophet. Hey, did you call me? I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. And the boy, and he did it one more time. I think he did it 3 times. But the third time the prophet knew. He knew it was God calling Samuel. And he said, Samuel did not know God's voice because he did not yet know God's word. You know, you won't hear his voice unless you're in his word. it was not known to him yet. So if you're trying to listen to God's voice and you're not reading your word, his word, somebody, good luck. You're not going to know. I've told you guys before, knowing God's word, God will speak to you something he said in his book, and you'll go there. I mean, I'm up here preaching and stuff, and then Romans 10:17. You know, let's go to Romans 10:17. And then there we go. You know, just out of my head, out of my heart. God tells me, Romans 10:17, tell it to him, and then boom. You know, let's go to Romans 10:17. See, if we don't know God's word, it'll be hard for you to listen for God's voice. Amen? See, many people do not realize that doing nothing can keep you from not hearing God. Apathy, no concern for God. If we're not doing nothing to know about and learn about and know God, that will keep you from hearing from God. You know? And then you got to ask your heart, why am I really coming here? God directs your heart. Let God, the Bible says, God directs your heart. Paul's telling the Thessalonians, may God direct your heart into God's love and his Christ perseverance. You know, he's saying it like, let him in. Let God in. So we will get to know his love and persevere like Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.